I don't think there's a better place in the world to be a doctor than South Australia. A huge part of that is the service that we can give our patients.
From the Central Adelaide Local Health Network, this is Our People, where we introduce you to some of Carlin's dedicated workforce who provide world-class healthcare services to our community.
11 years ago, an Irish-born doctor and his GP wife took a leap of faith when they moved across the world to carve out a new life and advance their medical careers in South Australia. Dr. Toby Gilbert says he swapped being the face of a failing health system to work as a doctor in the best place in the world. He's head of unit for general medicine at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, medical emergency response consultant at the Royal Adelaide Hospital, and clinical senior lecturer at the University of Adelaide. I'm Caroline Winter, and Dr. Toby Gilbert, thanks for joining us in the Carlin studio for this episode of Our People. Firstly, what inspired you to consider healthcare and to become a doctor?
I come from a medical family. Although my father is a GP and my mother is a hospital nurse, or was a hospital nurse, recently retired. And I think it was mostly my mother's influence. I had sort of summer jobs and jobs over Christmas holidays working in our big general hospital that was near our house. And I just really liked hospitals, if that's not too odd to say. I found that they're very sociable, and I love the idea of a lot of highly trained, semi-autonomous people wandering around, you know, doing good things and working together and, you know, doing their best for the patients who are inpatients. So I think it was probably more my mother's influence.
What a lovely description. So kind of following in her footsteps, or certainly in the industry. Now, can you give us an insight into what it was like training and working in Ireland?
Working in Ireland was pretty tough, and I believe the working conditions have got slightly better since I left, but not a lot better. The life there was you would work your usual sort of 8 till 6 shift, and then one every 9 nights I would also work a night shift and then into the next shift. And so I was doing these sort of 36-hour shifts every week or so. And I remember when I first moved in with my then-girlfriend, now wife, I happened to have 2 of these shifts in the same week because I had some leave coming up and you had to swap them around. And so on the Monday, I was on call. So I left Monday morning, got back Tuesday evening and just went straight to bed. And then Wednesday, we didn't see each other for whatever reason. And then on Thursday, I had to do the same thing again. And I stayed overnight and I worked through to Friday evening. And I woke up Saturday morning and I thought, God, I just moved in with this woman last weekend and I'm seeing her for the first time now. And I had this idea that actually this is probably not the life I want to lead. And it was pretty much at that point I decided that I wanted to move to a health system which was a little bit more friendly for its trainees. And so that's how we made the decision to come to Australia.
That's a really interesting thing, to go into a career that you were obviously destined to do, something you were very passionate about, but to find that the place in which you live and trained and grew up in is not the place where you could practice.
Yes, and immigration is difficult, and I'm going to say some lovely things about Australia in a little while, but it is hard and it is lonely when you leave. But Ireland has a very long history of exporting its people when times get tough, and, you know, as a nation we have dispersed ourselves across the globe, so I was following in the footsteps of a well-worn path.
As you mentioned, Australia was in your sights. What was it about Australia that was so attractive?
Australia has a reputation for being a nicer place to work and a friendlier place to work from a work-life balance point of view, from a training point of view, and from a remuneration point of view, if I'm being honest. And we've seen a lot of that with the recent junior doctor strikes from the NHS. Comparing their wages to the wages here, it's a really striking difference. Not that I think that that's a great reason to emigrate, but certainly the work-life balance, the number of hours worked and the supportive training is a reputation that Australia has the world over. And so that's why it attracts good people.
And so this was not just about you and your career then, it was about your wife and a family and what that would look like long-term?
Yes, it was primarily for those reasons that we left, and the working conditions of doctors in Ireland were just not conducive to a happy life as far as I could tell.
Now, you made the move to South Australia to continue to advance your career. Can you talk about some of the benefits that you have come from that move?
I certainly see more of my wife now than I did while we were living in Ireland. I think I was probably about 18 months between that busy week that I described to you and emigrating. And in that time, I put a ring on her finger and we got married. And I'd say I was working as a registrar in the Royal Adelaide for all about 2 weeks before I told her that I was never going to be a registrar working at home again. And it's been a great place to work. I had to go back and do some more training and do some basic exams that I had done before. But after that, it's been really plain sailing. It's been a great place to work. It's been super supportive. I got a consultant job straight out of training, which is lovely. And I've decided to go on a management career track, which has been supported really nicely and been giving me some great opportunities.
It sounds like it was the right move. From what you were hoping to get from moving to Australia, and we were lucky enough to have you in South Australia, did it match up to that expectation?
From a work point of view, yes. I would always be very careful about not recommending anybody emigrate, even though it's been wonderful for us, because it can be lonely. And I always see the pictures of an expat's first Christmas and they're on the beach. And I remember those Christmases, and they look fabulous because, of course, it's dark and it's wet back at home. But it's very Christmassy, and it's, you know, the family is all there. And you send these propaganda shots back on Facebook of the beach, and you can't tell, but they're tinged with loneliness. And those first few years can be quite lonely. And these days, we've been here for 11 years now, and we still go to the beach on Christmas Day, and we meet up with other expat families who are like our surrogate families, and we don't bother putting the pictures on Facebook anymore, but it feels an awful lot more like home now. Emigration can be a very lonely process, and it does mean you know, losing your support and your friends and your social networks and so on. But the advantage of work was why we left, and it's really why we'd stay. And I think my wife and I would both say that although the lifestyle in South Australia is fabulous, we would trade it in to be back with our families. And what keeps us here is the work.
How different then is practicing medicine here compared to Ireland?
They're actually quite similarly organized, and it actually was culturally quite an easy fit. The difference is really in the resourcing that you perceive, or that I perceive as a hospital doctor. The waiting lists in Ireland are terribly long. They're the worst in Europe. They've got 40% fewer consultants per head of population than even the European average. So just as a patient, you just aren't getting the same service that you would get in an Australian hospital. So as a doctor, that really feeds through. I used to hate being the face of a failing health system and have to apologize to people because they had been in ED for more than 48 hours, or because they had been 2 years on an outpatient waiting list, or because we're not going to get that scan today, and I know it didn't happen yesterday, but hopefully it'll happen tomorrow. Because all of those things work so much better in Australia, it's actually so much more rewarding to treat patients. My wife would also say, she's a GP, and she would say that she can access diagnostics, you can send people for scans and bloods and things, and not be dependent on the local big hospital. That's another big plus for working in general practice in Australia. And she said she'd struggle to go back to Ireland, where she's a gatekeeper for healthcare, that all happens out of a big hospital that's very inefficient.
That's quite a ringing endorsement for our health system, particularly when we know that there are certainly issues without a doubt, as there are with every health system. But as a doctor, and for your wife as well, is practicing here, is that top of the tree?
I don't think there's a better place in the world to be a doctor than South Australia. Our health system has issues, and there might be better health systems elsewhere for patients, but as a doctor, it's a really fabulous place to work. And a huge part of that is the service that we can give our patients.
What does a great day at work look like for you?
I get into work most days at 8 o'clock, take handover of some fresh patients, and then I head off with the team. We'll see patients till about midday, and I do that 4 days a week. So I'm still very clinically engaged, get to engage in some teaching at the bedside, always go for coffee afterwards, boss has to buy the coffee. And then in the afternoons, I'm usually meeting with lots of people. Always got something on the go, always got some kind of quality improvement plot being hatched. Often I'm liaising with some organizations outside of our hospital, be that the ambulance service, the Department of Health, other hospitals and so on. I've got a real passion for looking with a cold eye at how we provide our care and finding ways we can make it better. And I find that kind of work very satisfying.
It sounds like those that work with you and under you would be inspired by the focus that you have on healthcare and where it's headed?
Let me tell you, it's a big difference between Australians and Irish people is Irish people don't take compliments very well. And so I'm not going to be able to agree with you, but thank you for taking that from me. But I do hope so. And I hope from my clinical practice that I do inspire people to be very patient-centered. I think if all the work we do always starts with the patient, we won't go far wrong.
You've touched on it, but how has your lifestyle changed since moving to Australia and living and working here?
Well, there were really two thresholds. There was one when we immediately moved, when I was still in training. And I was about 5.5 years between landing and getting a consultant job. And as I say, the work-life balance was just an awful lot better, and being able to engage in hobbies. And, you know, I lost about 10 kilos just because I was, you know, living by the beach and able to exercise and so on. And then after 5.5 years, I got my first consultant job. And that's fabulous. Being a consultant's brilliant, and everybody will enjoy it. If you're not here yet, it's great.
You mentioned that outdoor lifestyle. What kind of things do you like to do when you're not at work?
I do like to exercise. No, I like having exercise on any given day. So I ran 5K with the dog this morning before getting into work, and staying healthy is important to me. The other thing I really enjoy doing is singing. So Adelaide, you may not be aware of this, punches above its weight when it comes to choral singing. And so the group that I sing with, the Festival Statesman Chorus, on a good day is Australia's premier male voice group. And so I sing with them every week, and we've got a few big gigs coming up.
Oh, I did not know that. And so Adelaide and South Australia is also home to many events, from arts right through to sport. Do you take in any of those?
Oh, yeah. It's called the Festival State for a reason. And it throws a good festival, right? For instance, the football, we had the Gather Round where all the teams in Australia came and played AFL. So in a couple of those games, the Fringe, of course, is always just a great 4 weeks of the year. And you just fill up your calendar with that. And I always encourage some relatives to come over at about Fringe time, both because I think it's seeing Adelaide at its best, but also because I need the babysitters for us going out as much as we can.
Very good. Obviously, there is a lot to embrace about living in South Australia. You mentioned being a migrant and the difficulties around that. How did you overcome some of the loneliness that you talked about?
There's a really strong expat community who do help each other out. And although obviously my kids' cousins are all very far away, they have heaps of surrogate cousins who, you know, they would see a couple of times a week and so on. So I think that's really been a really big help. It doesn't replace family. And I know that there is an island far away where there are some people there who would give my children unconditional love. And that's something that I'm never going to be able to replicate. But, you know, you do find your people. But I would say for anybody moving over, there's probably a threshold at around the 2 year level. After 2 years, you'll have found your circle. Before that, there's a lot of, you know, going to barbecues and having the same conversation over and over again. But we had a rule to never turn down an invitation, because you go to that barbecue and maybe you wouldn't care for 90% of the people there, but you'll find the 10% that you do like. And then they'll invite you to their house and, you know, then you meet more people. And after about, I think, the 2 year mark, things started to get a little bit more settled and it started to feel like somewhere where we could stay.
That's a lovely sentiment and really good advice as well for anyone who's new to a place. 11 years on, does this feel like pseudo home?
Yeah, there's just so much written in the literature about the migrant and where home is. We always had the intention to move home, and it was meant to be a 5-year plan, and 5 years came and passed. And then we were getting out to more the 7 or 8 year mark, and then COVID came along. And that was really a threshold, because we always had money socked away in case we needed to get home in a hurry. And if you really need to get home, you could be home in 36 hours, you know, just pay for the flight and get home if someone were taken unwell or something. And then during COVID, that wasn't an option. And so the world suddenly got a lot bigger. And if you had asked me, I would have thought that that would have precipitated us actually moving home. Instead, because, you know, we had to put our heads down and work away here with the health service we were working in. And of course, it was a career defining few years for us. And what we started to do was try to get out of that limbo. So, for instance, we wanted to do the kitchen and we wanted to get a dog. And those are things you don't do if you're going to move home soon. And we sat down one day, we said, look, let's just behave as if we're going to stay here forever. And if we end up moving home because there's a fantastic opportunity, we'll just, you know, we'll have done up the kitchen and we'll just, you know, it's just money, it's fine. And if we have to fly a dog across the world, we'll just fly a dog across the world. And so now we're at least behaving a little bit more like we're staying here for good. And if I looked at a crystal ball and found that we moved home at some stage, or if I saw that we stayed here, I'd understand that it was for the right reasons and that we have our values and we'll do what's right for us and our family. But I wouldn't be surprised if we stay in South Australia for the rest of our days.
Well, I feel like our healthcare system is very lucky to have you and your wife. And sorry for the compliment, but if I can bring it back to that, what kind of difference do you hope that you are making in our healthcare network?
I hope I'm having impact and influence. I have, if I can compliment myself, it's going to sound terrible, but I think I have a talent for improving care. And a lot of doctors are great at the bedside, but sometimes can't generate that rafters view of how a health system is working or should work. And so I've really enjoyed my time at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I've been here for the last 3 years. The general medicine department was not functioning terribly well once I arrived, but we went through a process of really, you know, running a very close rule over it, moved some things around, improved efficiencies. And again, just really focusing on what does a good patient journey look like and building the system around that. And good quality care and good quality patient-centered care is efficient care. And we've really managed to make this place somewhere where patients are getting a good deal and where the trainees want to work and get trained and where the other healthcare workers are happy. So that's the kind of thing that I love to do. And I hope I'm inspiring other people. I always joke that if you want to reduce the audience at your lecture by half, put the word quality in the title. And it just turns everybody out of their board. But, you know, it's, are we doing a good job? And could we do our job better? And doctors are great at engaging that sort of thing from a level of what is the healthcare that I'm providing at the bedside. But if we can actually inspire people to likewise take that rafters view of our healthcare system and see if we can improve it on a more macro level, then it'll be a better place for all of us to work.
It is a big thing to move your family to the other side of the world. As you said, you're among thousands, of course, who have done it. What would you tell your friends or colleagues back home who might be thinking of doing the same thing?
I would say the best time to move is as early in your training, immediately after internship, or after you're a consultant, and don't do what I did, which is move right in the middle of those 2 points when you're a junior registrar, because you have to repeat a whole bunch of basic trainings. And if they are going to come, I think that advice of never turn down an invitation in your first 2 years really helps to settle you in. And if you do come and you don't like it, you will have learned something. And when you go home, you'll be better people for it.
Well, the people of South Australia are better for having you here. Dr. Toby Gilbert, thank you for sharing your insights on moving to work and live here and for joining me in the Carlin studio for Our People.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Our People. For more episodes in this series, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave a comment or a rating and share this series with your colleagues and friends. This podcast was developed by the Central Adelaide Local Health Network. We would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people and pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging, and acknowledge their spiritual connection to the land on which this podcast is recorded.